professor, the end of a semester, like all teachers, overworked, underpaid, grading a mound of final exams, and mindlessly he just suddenly scribbled a phrase on a scratch sheet of paper. In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. The professor had no idea what that phrase really meant. He had only a faint notion of what a hobbit was, even a fainter notion of what a hobbit could become. In fact, it would be several years before he would actually write anything after that sentence. But that one faint notion, that one little phrase, in a hole in the ground lived a hobbit, became the starting point for one of the most popular and powerful series of books, The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. There was a young businessman, owned a radio station, just on the verge of going bankrupt. He needed $800 to make his payroll, and he knew there was a businessman that owed him $1,000 for advertising. He went to the man, said, "Pay up." He said, "No, your advertising didn't work. I didn't sell anything. I'm not going to pay you." But then the man said, "Tell you what, I have 112 can openers. Take the can openers and we'll call it square." Faced with taking nothing or taking can openers, the young man took the can openers, filled his van with them, and the next morning he had a faint idea. He went to the DJ and said, "You got a guest this morning, me." Since the young man owned the station, the DJ handed him the mic. And he said, "I have over 100 can openers in my possession, and they list for $14.95. But if you will call me, and if you'll come by this station before noon and bring cash, no checks, no credit cards, I'll sell them to you for $9.95. By noon, all 112 can openers had been spoken for, and 85 had already been picked up. And out of that faint notion, Bud Paxson's multi-billion dollar home shopping network originated. The scriptures say, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came, saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east." That may be the greatest statement of faith in the entire New Testament. Think about it. No angel accosted these wise men, no seraphim sang to them, no burning bush caught their attention. God didn't pull them aside and say, "This is what's happening." They looked into the heavens and saw a cosmic disturbance, a comet or an exploding supernova or a planetary alignment. Who can say? But they saw that light and they associated it in some faint way with the appearance of something great. The coming of the Lord's anointed. They had only a faint notion of what they were doing. But they saddled their camels and rode. Now let me tell you something. The idea of a Messiah had become a popular notion. Jewish communities were spread throughout the known world. Their scriptures were known. This messianic expectation had become a popular concept. Everyone knew about it. And everyone could have seen that disturbance in the heavens. But only these so-called wise men acted. What I want to say to you this morning is something very simple. Oftentimes, we move forward in our lives without any great sense of clarity as to what lies ahead. We don't have absolute certainty as to what we should be doing. All we have is some phenomenon that attracts our attention and plants a seed in our mind, a faint notion upon which we must act. In being obedient to that faint notion, not once, but over and over and over, by a series of small acts of faith and obedience, we not only prepare ourselves for something great, but rather in doing a small series of acts of obedience, we accomplish something great. That's the lesson of the wise men. They acted repeatedly in obedience and faith to a series of faint notions. The irony of the wise men's story is they're the most ignorant people in the story. They were lost, and to the amazement of their wives, they stopped and asked for directions. They inquired of Herod in Jerusalem, "Where is he who'd be born the king of the Jews?" Now Herod was a half Jew. He knew the messianic expectations. He already knew the answer, but he consulted his experts, his scribes, his counselors, and they assured him he was right. The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Herod knew it. The advisors knew it. The specialists were aware of it. But only the wise men acted. The Messiah, the anointed one, was for Herod only a concept. For the scribes, the Pharisees, the specialists, they believed in it, but it was only really a concept. Only the wise men saddled their camels and rode. Only they acted. For them, the Messiah was not just a concept. It was something that required their obedience. There are times when for us, our faith is only a concept. God is just an abstract notion. But you cannot really come to know God simply keeping God an abstract notion. You have to commit. You have to serve. You have to invest. You have to be obedient to that series of faint notions that call you to deeper faith. And when you do that, God ceases to be an abstract concept and becomes the guiding principle and focus of your life. Everyone knew the concept of the Messiah, but only these magi acted. Now, I need to tell you something. I know what the carol says, and I love We Three Kings. I know how the Christmas cards depict the Magi. But here's the honest truth. The Magi are not kings. They are servants of kings. They're slaves of kings. They're astrologers. Be honest, they work for the Weather Channel. They're weathermen. They study the heavens and use their astrology to understand the seasons and prepare an almanac for their employer. They're not kings. They're the servants of kings. And that's how Herod treats them. Go look for this Messiah, and when you find him, come tell me news. He doesn't treat them as kings. He treats them as slaves. For that's what they are. but they're faithful. What do the scriptures say? They went their way, and lo, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. But I guarantee you, that was not their first reaction. I can only explain my point by means of three ubiquitous words. See Ruby Falls. If you grew up in a certain age, you could find those three words anywhere. You could be in the boondocks of Central Florida. You could be in Podunk, Arkansas. You could be in the wilds of Kentucky, and you'd look on a barn or a birdhouse, and there would be these words, See Ruby Falls. So one day, I went and saw Ruby Falls. I was expecting this great gushet of water coming out over a rock illumined with red. Instead, this little trickle of water coming out of a rock with these red lights on it, and I said, that's Ruby Falls? These wise men have seen a cosmic disturbance in the heavens. They have ridden from afar. They've consulted kings. They've heard specialists. They have a concept of what the Messiah is going to be. And they arrive at a peasant cottage. And they look at each other and go, is this a joke? That's the Messiah's residence? But they do something wonderful. They get off their camels. They go in. They lay aside their preconceived ideas of the Messiah. And they kneel, prostrate themselves before the king, and offer kingly gifts. They had a concept of what the Messiah was supposed to look like, but they laid those aside and let the Messiah define himself as he really was. What an extraordinary act of faith. For you and I often have our preconceived ideas. This is what God is like. This is how my faith should look. But when you remove it out of the abstract and you commit yourself to God in obedience, in a series of small steps of courage and faith, you discover that your preconceived ideas of God are not correct. You have to set those aside. You have to allow God to define who God is as God reveals God's self in the journey of faith. Every Sunday, I issue the invitation. Come, profess Christ as Savior and Lord. Come, splice your life into this community of faith. Come, join us. And I think back to that day when I was 9 years old and I walked down that aisle. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. But I had only a faint idea of what that meant. It has taken a journey of decades, a series of small, obedient steps to the faint notion of God's will that has led me to develop my faith, has allowed me to expand my understanding of God, has allowed my faith to mature. Time and time again, I've had to push aside my preconceived ideas and allow God to reveal to me what God truly is and what faith truly requires. The wise men. The wise men go home a different way. They are obedient to the vision of a dream, and they go home a different way because that's the nature of faith. If your faith stays in a rut, it's not really faith. You have to break out of it and go a different way under the leadership of God. The wise men became the wise men because they knew they were the most ignorant, and so they were the most willing to learn. That must be our story as well. The little book that I read years ago that has influenced me, the title of it was, Your God is Too Small. Your God is Too Small. The wise men, as they answered the faint notion of what lay just ahead, they grew in their faith. Their concept of God grew. That must be our story too. You may not have a clear idea of where you're headed. You may not have an absolute notion of this is my path. But just be obedient and faithful and courageous to the light in front of you. Follow that path. Follow that path, and it will lead you to the Christ. Come, let us adore Him. May we pray together. Lord, we have our ideas of what You are like. But You call us to expand our notions, to wrestle with questions we never imagined we would, to take pathways and embrace challenges we never imagined would be before us. But Your story is unfolding and Your call is dynamic. May we answer with a dynamic faith as well. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.